Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? Do you love God? I really love the Lord. If you love him, sing it. Yes, I really love the Lord. Yes, and you don't know what it's. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. And that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he, come on, church, and sing it. Over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Me and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. Oh, and that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. And thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me. And that's why I love, yes, I love him. Amen, 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 amen. If you're visiting with us this morning at the Fifth Ward Church, you are honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. We are grateful that you've decided to come and be with us this morning. We know you have a choice. You could have chosen to go to churches all over the city of Houston. For whatever reason, we're glad that you came to be with us today. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're joining us by way of television, thank you. You have many choices, all of those channels, and you stopped here. Hopefully you'll stay with us for a few moments and allow the Lord to speak to you this morning. If your heart is heavy, if you need to talk to someone, if you need someone to pray with you, we'll be more than happy to do that if you call a number on your screen. But more than that, if you are in our viewing area, we'd like you to visit us here physically. If you're unable to, we understand. But there is a difference in watching us on television and being here in the fellowship among us. And so we'd love to have you. Just make sure you come and shake Brother Gary's hand and say, listen, I watch on television and I came by to visit you in person at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And we welcome them, won't we, church? Yes. We think we're a friendly church and we just love God and thank God for this day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We know the world would call this Easter Sunday, but it's the Lord's day to us. The first day of the week, and we meet here every Sunday. And if you're visiting, I know sometimes some people don't get out until Easter, and we welcome you. Thank you for coming. But we worship you. The doors are open all the time, and you're welcome to come at any time. So I don't have an Easter sermon today. If you will, I know the world recognized Easter as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, we celebrate his resurrection every Lord's Day. When we meet at the table on the first day of the week in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, they broke bread on the first day of the week. They didn't waste one Sunday out of the year to do it. They did it every week. And so we do it every week. And we remember the Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection. So that's why I didn't designate a specific sermon for this particular Easter Sunday, because we do it every week, don't we, church? Amen. And so we're grateful. We're looking forward to celebrating and remembering his death, burial, and resurrection in just a little bit moment. That's just a moment. I want to continue a lesson series I started. Haven't preached on Sunday mornings in 3 weeks. And so not here, but I have been teaching and doing some other preaching. And I want to continue this series. I started off a few weeks ago and called it Lifeology. I don't know. I looked it up. I don't know if that's a real word. But I just kind of made it, you know, so make not made it up, but I hope you see the application this morning as we talk about, the Bible talks about life. Peter in the second chapter, Peter chapter 1, verse 3, a familiar scripture to many of us, seeing that his divine power has granted to us, the God has granted to the saints, everything pertaining to life and godliness. And I don't know if we all believe that or not, but the answer to every issue, every problem, the answer to you know, what's my purpose and why am I here and how do I live in this situation when I'm at work, and how do I be a better wife, and how do I be a better single person? How do I grow up as a teenager in this world? He's given us everything pertaining to life while we're living on earth, godliness, being like God, through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and his excellence. And so the knowledge is in the word of God. It's just that we got to get in the word of God. I made some points a few weeks ago. Some of you probably don't remember if you take notes. One of the points I made, the first point, I don't want to review it too hard, was life. And I use some of these points. I do some reading to organize my thoughts, to see what others think. Hal Urban wrote a book called Life's Greatest Lessons, and he lists 20 things he says that matter. And I was reading some of them, and I'm reading them to see how they match up with what God's word says. Because sometimes people can put things in a way that makes sense to us. And he said some things to me that made sense. And I want to pull out a few. I don't want you to think this is original, all of it. But I want to pull out a few of his thoughts because they line up with what God says in his word. One of the thoughts he said is that one of the things we need to realize in life, that life is hard. And some of us don't want to hear that all the time. He said it's hard, but it's not always fair. And that's just the truth. You know, and you want to see, when we brought up this point without me going through the whole lesson that I did a few weeks ago, we brought up this point. See, one of the things that we as Christians, we need to get out of fantasy land, and we need to, as Peter said in 2 Peter, he says, count it not strange when we are experienced fiery trials in life. Because we don't need to teach our children. Sometimes we cover up and we try to cloud up and we try to protect our children from everything. You can't protect your child from everything in life. And we do better being honest with them. Tell them, look at son, daughter, baby, it's rough out there. And you need to get yourself ready. Yes, you have protection in this home, but when we get outside of this house, there's some things you need to be ready for. And we talked about that. And Peter said that, if you want to go, that's 1 Peter 4 and 12. He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. But then also he says, don't, as a Christian now, understand life is hard. Life is not always fair, but don't suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody, what the Bible says. See, you know, don't make life any harder than you have to. And if you go through some suffering, but you make sure, he goes on to say, to suffer, let it suffer as a Christian, as somebody who's trying to do what's right. Because when you do that, yes, you become a partaker of Christ's suffering, because the Son of God, the creator of the world, came to this earth and he suffered. So how in the world you think we're going to get through life? Somebody in here right now, you can't hardly hear straight because you are suffering. Let it go for a minute and listen to God as he speaks to us, because it's through suffering, even those of us as Christians, if we suffer right, it brings glory to God and it buys us allegiance to God. Amen. Yes, yes. And so that's an old lesson. And also he said, if you come on Sunday nights, you'd have heard me say this. The Sunday night lesson was to enjoy life, to enjoy life. He says that to Christians. Yeah, we not here that long. And at moments of joy, some of us, we haven't laughed in a long time. Some of us, we major on the difficulties and the trials, and we have blessings and times that we can rejoice, and we let them go. And Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said this in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 2, a joyful heart is good medicine. Anybody need some medicine this morning? Yeah. Sometimes you need to laugh. You have some of those of us as Christians, you know, things happen. You have a birthday. Happy birthday. Yeah, somebody graduate. Congratulations. You have a baby. Celebrate. Yes, a joyful heart is good medicine. Some of your children in the house, they need to see mama and daddy laugh sometimes so they can last. And because, you know, he goes on to say, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Lord have mercy, you know it. Some of you smile. It don't cost anything to laugh. It doesn't cost anything to smile. God gave us these emotions to use them. And so he makes a good point. Enjoy life. My family is getting together today after church today. We're getting together. You know what we're going to do? Eat. I'm looking forward to it. You know, sometimes I can't wait till I'm hungry so I can eat. Yeah, eat. We're going to eat. We're going to fellowship. We're going to laugh. We're going to touch the babies. And yeah, you doing? And we're going to ask how you doing, what's going on. And we're going to do all of that if the Lord says the same. You see, there are some moments you let get away from it. You be saying, I wish I would have. I didn't. I wish we should have spent more time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Point number three. God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
Notice this. Jesus says, I came that you might have life. He's not talking about when you get to heaven. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, as I get older, I'm bored. Look here, I get up in the morning. I ain't got time to be mad at everybody. I don't have time to be. No, I don't need. You gonna have. There's enough cares of the world to tie you down. I get up in the morning now. Look now, and I'm at the age now. If my knees acting right, and I can walk and brush my teeth, I look in the mirror and say, "Thank you, Lord. Just thank you. Thank you that I can." If you walked in here this morning, you better thank God. Yes, some of you need to go down to the hospital. You need to go just sit at the cemetery and watch the cars roll through and see the size of the caskets that come in. They're all sizes. You know what? They got one that's your size. They have one that's my size. Lord have mercy. Don't get me started this morning. Lifeology. One of the things that he says practical things to us in life. He says that habits are the key to all success. Now this is not a Bible statement, but this is what he says. That habits are the key to all success. And I know where he gets his data and some of the information from, but I'll tell you what, listen to this. See, a habit is an action that's ingrained, and it's become natural. It's become natural because of continued repetition. You do it over and over again. You see, there are things that we do without thinking almost. And we do them without thinking, but we accomplish them with skill and precision. You know why? Because we've been doing them so long and so much that we almost do, you know, you know they go for good habits and bad habits. Yeah, good habits and bad habits. And I don't want to be negative this morning, but I believe that there's a lot of truth in that. Some of us are so good at doing good, but we're so good at doing bad. And he makes this statement, another statement he makes is we need to recognize positive and winning behavior and practice them so consistently that they become habits. We need to recognize what's good and what's a bad habit. Notice, and I love that one quote he quotes in his book. He says, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. Yeah, it's a habit. And Yeah, what we repeatedly do. Yeah, I'm kind of a sports fan, but you know, because I played sports, but I don't get overwhelmed with sports. I like sports, but I like to see when somebody disciplines themselves and they excel. They don't have an extraordinary amount of necessarily ability, but they have, you know, and that's why I'm a Steph Curry fan. Some of y'all know who Steph Curry is? Okay. Most of you know. Everybody don't know who Steph Curry is. He's a three-point. He plays for the Golden State Warriors. You know, they have this record going on. But I love him because boy, can't he light it up? Boy, he can shoot threes like free throws. Well, he shoot them better than I shoot free throws. But do you know how he's gotten so good? So you see, you know, we see, oh man, that's Steph Curry, bad boy, he's bad. Woo, man, Steph Curry can shoot. You know how he became this shooter and dribbler, shooter. And you know how that happened? Some of our kids need to hear this, don't they? Yeah. Notice we do too, adults. See, it's no accident. See, when nobody else is around, when there's no fanfare, he was doing what? Dribbling. Well, Steph, where you going with that ball? I'm dribbling. I'm dribbling. What you doing with that ball? Why are you in the gym so long? Because I want to get better. Don't you know some people say, man, put that ball down. No, I got a purpose. And so just kept dribbling. I mean, you see, watch it when he dribbles. I mean, he dribbled two balls. Okay, I can do that. No, you can't. You can't do that. I'm not saying you might can do it. But notice this. Now, everybody in here, if I gave you 10 shots at the basket, 10 shots at the basket, everybody in here? No, not everybody. 10 shots at the basket, you probably would make at least one, don't you think? Notice this. You probably would make one. At least I'm broke here. I make eight, yeah. Whole thing. Notice this. But if you make one, that means you had success, right? So can you make two? You can make two if you do what? Keep on. I want to go to the Word of God because we're not talking about basketball today, but we are talking about habits. And I know somebody will go, I need to know how to break a habit. Let me read the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Listen to these passages. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, this is to the saints. This is to the saints. He says, be steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. That's an important word in the Bible. The word steadfast, it's a word that means unwavering. It's a word that means faithful. A word that means committed. A word that means devoted. A word that means dedicated. It's a word that means habitually consistent. And he says to the saints, to the Christians, says, be unwavering, be faithful, be committed, be dedicated, be habitually consistent, immovable, always abounding in the, notice, work of the Lord. Work of the Lord. Now, work is always an action word. Always. It is a doing word. Now, you know, sometimes the Bible say pray without ceasing. There are words that are mental words that consist of our thinking. But in this instance, he says, in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me read another passage, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 19. Proverbs 11, 19. He who is steadfast, everybody say steadfast, unwavering, faithful, committed, devoted, dedicated, is in righteousness will attain to life. And he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. That's what the scriptures say. It's steadfast. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your, notice, work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus in the presence of our God and our Father. Acts 2:41. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine and teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. Do you see that God is trying, the word of, he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's trying to get us to practice good habits and get us to develop them to the point that they become natural. We become skilled at them and they bless us. We're talking about tools that we absolutely need to be effective Christians while we're living in this world. Anybody need this? Oh, Lord, I need some good habits. You know what? One of the things, I don't know if I've said this before. See, when I was coming up in school, in high school, all the way through grade school, high school, you know, God gives some of us more gray matter than others. It's just some of, and what do you mean, Brother Gary, gray matter? I remember Brother Foster, you said, I'm like, what's gray matter? Some of us, God gives more intellect than others. He gives us different gifts. Some of us pick up things very fast. Some of us, it take a long. I'm not talking about nobody, because I said some of us take a long time. And I remember, after I read them, I remember things well. But I got to read them first. And I, when I was coming up all the way through, I was not a big reader. I was a see the work. If I'm in class, I'm going to remember it. I'm going to retain it. I do well. But I didn't read a whole lot. I read enough. And one of the reasons why I went back to graduate school here not too long ago, I knew that if I'm going to be teaching and preaching, I need to enlarge my reservoir. Because you can only teach and preach what you. After a while, it gets old. It gets stale. Brother Gary, I heard that sermon last week. And y'all be looking for a new preacher. More than that, I needed it for my own spiritual growth. And see, one of the keys to us developing, expanding, and breaking bad habits is recognizing a good habit from a bad habit. You first got to recognize, and you have to admit, you have to know what you're working with, what you're doing, and claim it. And I knew that I needed to read, I needed to study more, I needed to have more discipline, and I need some help doing that. Yeah, and I every time I read the Bible, how they continually they read. Now listen, the guy by the name of James Crib, he says that most of our bad habits are caused by two things. He said stress and boredom. That's what he says. It's caused by stress and boredom. You know, our kids get involved in gangs. If you don't give them something to do, they're gonna find something to do. If they bored, and you know, our kids are saying to me, "I'm bored." And if you don't feel that boredom with something, they will feel it with something. And we don't want it to be a something bad. We want it to be something good. So some of you, Brother Gary, just tell me how. But I got some bad habits. See, don't focus on breaking the bad habit. Focus on replacing the bad, because see, most psychologists, a lot of reading I'm doing, and you know, a lot of times you talk, well, you trying to break a bad habit. Well, you need to work on replacing that habit. And I believe that that's what the scripture teaches us. But he says this about habits. He says, most of the time, bad habits are simply a way of dealing with stress and boredom. Everything from biting your nails to overspending on a shopping spree, to drinking every weekend, to wasting time on the internet, is simply a response to stress. You know, you get stressed and go, my husband getting on my nerve, and you go out and spend some money. Now, that might not be a good habit to do all the time, unless you got some money to spend. But we do things, and sometimes we're doing them unconsciously because we've done them so much. And I asked the Lord, Lord, because I know, see, some of us, we can relate in certain areas. Some of you say, well, you can't relate to me. You don't know what I'm going through. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, where the Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. You know, Galatians chapter 5, we're going to go there in just a second. But see, you need to read up above Galatians chapter 5. Let's go there for a second. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And I would imagine your good habits and your bad habits are about to be hit in these particular scriptures. But I say, he says to the saints, this to the saints, seeing that his divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and everything pertaining to life and godliness. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Now, some of these claims, you know, sometimes you say, well, you need to break these bad habits. I know, but how? He says, walk, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Key. Live by the Spirit, because you know what our flesh desires. And you will not carry out the... See, there are those, I know there's a book there. We are not saved by works. Works do not save us. There's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven. Amen. Because we're saved by grace. Grace of God. Thank the Lord for the grace of God. Amen. Through faith. Ultimately. But see, while you are on this earth, if you don't learn how to work, you will not be saved. See, work keeps you out of a whole lot of foolishness. The Word of God is trying to teach us that. Is that as you live, you walk, live, and you will not. How are you going to break this bad habit? Because you are doing the work of the Lord. Now, it has to be the work of the Lord. Key to stay with me. Don't go to sleep yet on this now. He says this. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. Amen, Lord. Amen. I mean, all the time. See, some of us, thank the Lord. Some of our senior saints, bless you. Lord have mercy. Some of us, we look so forward to coming to worship service. We can be in the house of the Lord. I'm gathering with the saints. I'm ready to sing the songs. Ooh, Lord, I had a rough week. I need some prayer. I need to take the Lord's communion. Because we've grown to that point. Because we've disciplined ourselves. Because now we understand what's important and the priorities, and we continue to come, and we can continue to come to Bible class, and we continue to be involved. That's why we continue to be involved. We go to fellowships, and we go to the nursing homes, and we go sing. We go when they go visit. We do all of that, and so when we come to worship service, now it's just like we're thankful and grateful to God. But some of us. Not talking about nobody. You know, some of us, we still in that hidden missing stage. And we're struggling with life and bills and issues and relationships and kinfolk and guilt and shame. And we have a hard time concentrating. And if the singing ain't right... And if the preaching is slow, because the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. And the Spirit, notice, and the Spirit against. That's why some of us as Christians, we have to be careful how holy we become. Because see, you holy, but you ain't always been as holy as you are. And you know, sometimes you be singing and you're in the Spirit, and something, a baby started crying next to you. You start crying, getting mad. You get that baby out of here. Hold up. You had some babies a long time ago and they cried. But when you're in the Spirit, now notice this now. But when you are serious about you taking the Lord's Supper and you taking the communion and somebody playing next to you, ooh, it gets on your natural nerve. You know what you're doing? Be quiet. The Lord is in this place. Amen. The flesh, the spirit. That battle is always going on. Even in the Lord's house. Notice this. For these are in opposition to one another. So that you may not do the things that you please. See, when you're in this battle, and you say, and some of you can relate to this right now, because you know what's right, you know what you need to stop, and you know, I've had some people, one brother, he was with me, we were visiting and doing some things, another brother came with me, we were doing some work, and he said, man, I love being around the Christians, I love working, this is what I want, I love doing this, because this keeps, because when I go wherever else I go, I just... Because when you in the spirit, it's hard to cuss in here now, isn't it? I mean curse. I mean, when you sing songs of joy, glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. Yes. Yes, and see, it's difficult to think about all of this ungodliness, and when you are in the spirit. But the opposite is true when you're in the flesh. When you're in the flesh and you're somewhere you know you don't need to be. Doing something you know is ungodly. Last thing you want to see is one of your brothers and sisters. Amen. I was in nobody in here. It's not fun. I was in the store. I was just going in. I can't remember what I was going in there for. And I saw this brother. He's not in here now. And he was loading up. And you know, I wouldn't have known it. He had so much. And I purposely left out of the store. Well, Gary, you should have said something. That's not me. Some of you know that. Not at that particular time. Amen. Not at that particular time. See, some of you, you want everybody to get somebody. God see everything. God see everything. You ain't got to go around getting everybody. You preach the word. You know, you never know. He might hear, he not in here now, but he might hear this sermon online in his car one day. And he, well, Gary, I wonder is he talking? But that's not Brother Gary. That's the providence of God. But the last thing that the flesh want to see is the spirit. And then he gets more specific. Let me finish this. Verse 19, Galatians 5:19. And the Bible purposely lists these bad habits. And it says the deeds. Notice, remember the word work in the Lord, your labor, your toil. Now, this is not talking about the deeds of the flesh. Are evident, are obvious, which are immorality, Now, if I had time, I'd go through. See, listen, some of us act like we don't know. You need to, that's why in order to replace a bad habit, you must first label it. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. See, sometimes we dibble and dabble on the edge, like we are on a tight line. I don't see in the Bible where it's wrong for me to visit the topless bar. I'm trying not to smile. I'm not doing nothing. I'm not dating the women. I'm just visiting. See, the word sensuality has to do with your senses. And see, some of us, we wouldn't sin if our senses were not stimulated. That's how God is just giving you what you need. Look, brother, you need to first recognize what you can handle and what you can't handle. And there are some places that you need to put a big red X on. Idolatry. Idolatry is anything that you put before God. Now, see, you know that list can be. You know why some people are not here this morning? You know why some people literally are not here this morning? It's pretty good weather. They on the lake. They fishing. How many in here like to fish? I haven't fished in a long time, but I'd love to be on the water right now. But it's not the time for me. Because see, I want to make sure that I'm pleasing to God first. The fish gonna be there, aren't they? Amen. And he said, listen, I'm not saying that fishing is quote unquote a sin, but idolatry is. You get more excited. The Texans, the Rockets, the NCAA playoffs, it's Final Four, Brother Gary. I got me some tickets right now, and you won't come to Bible. Is sorcery. Ooh, I could spend some time on these. Enmities, strife, jealousy. Some things we create in our own. Quit wasting your energy and time looking at people. What they have on. What they drive, you don't know how much they pay. They might be behind five notes on that Lexus. And you jealous. I mean, they got a Lexus. They think they something. Oh, have mercy. Outburst of anger. Notice what the Bible is doing. It's labeling. No, it's not all right for you to go off on people. Oh, Brooke, I was raised like that. My family, my mom, my grandmother, they all been doing. They all were wrong in the sight of God. And if you do it, disputes, arguing about everything, which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you that those who practice. Now, I want you to see. I want you to retie all this in together: the work, the labor, the steadfastness, deeds, practice. It's not made up stuff. This is stuff that we do that are bad for us. Who practice such things may not, might not. King James Version would say, shall not. New American Version would say, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then the verse that you love. verse that we've memorized. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice how this ties in together. It labels, it identifies all of these bad habits. But it says now, if you want to eliminate these bad habits, you replace them. Yeah, you replace them. Don't get disillusioned. Don't get discouraged, Gary. This is just hit me all. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm just so bad. Oh, we all in the same boat. It's a work in progress. But he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And see, love is an action word. Because, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I love everybody, but Gary, I love everybody. But your actions don't speak it. I love my family. That's why I beat my wife. Now, come on, brother. That's twisted love, brother. No. That's why I do what I do, because I love them. It's joy. That's why, notice, you have the ability to wake up in the morning with a good attitude. Amen. See, you control that. You know, you're saying that some of us as men, we got a whole house nervous. I'm not jumping on the men. I do that first because God has placed those of us as husbands in our home as the head of our households. And we have responsibility as the head. We set the pace. And you wake up in the morning, you go come in from work, and you're all grouchy and mad. Well, pick up something. Give me something to eat. You be quiet. Leave me alone. And got everybody in the house on pins and needles. And don't take a moment to have some joy. Bring some joy. Go buy something and bring it to the kids. Smile, kiss, hug, play with them. Practice that. Notice this. It is something that we must practice. We must put into action. There's something that we must do to replace all of this grouchiness that we have. These outbursts of anger. And you replace it day by day, moment by moment. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law, the Bible says. You do them every day, day by day, daily, in our lives, as we live, on our jobs, not just at the church house, at play, wherever we go. Yeah, I think Hal had a good point. Habits. Because some things I've been practicing. So sometimes I'm sitting down, and anybody have a jumping knee? Jumping, you know how you sit down, yeah. And my feet just be like that. Anybody have that? And sometimes one brother came to me one time. He said, "Bro, Gary, you all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "Why are you shaking so much?" I said, "What you mean?" I said, "Oh, you talking about that?" And some of you doctors may can tell us why we do it, but I don't. It makes me feel pretty good when I do it. But you know, one of the things that I made a habit. Well, I say I made a habit. My wife helped me with this, and I share this a lot of time. I need to stop. I didn't finish this lesson either, but every day I pray with my wife. Amen. Every day. That's been a blessing. Amen. It's hard to curse when you're praying. It's hard. We had this morning we had a discussion. It wasn't a great discussion. It didn't start off great. Something was on my mind, and I had something on your mind, and I was trying to say, "Well, I don't need to bring this up because I need to preach." And I know my wife; she gets kind of up there sometime. But I did, because it was bothering me too much. And we had a discussion about it. I had already prayed, because when we get in the car, we're together. Before we drive off, I pray while I'm driving. You know, Gary, you pray with your eyes open? Yes, I do. I don't want to have a wreck. And when you trying to be somewhere on time, look, that's life. Yeah. Some of you, no, I need to pray laying down. Come on, you brother, study your Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what does that say? Pray without
ceasing.
You can pray in your car. You can pray in here right now. Pray for me right now. Pray while you're taking a test, before you take a test, after you take a test. So I had already prayed, but I prayed, but I was, you know how you pray sometime out of habit, because I knew we were going to pray, and I didn't know if I was going to bring this up. But I went on and prayed, but my spirit wasn't totally right. And so we had this discussion, and it wasn't great at first. Well, thank the Lord we capped it before we got here. Well before we got here. And what my wife did is before we got here, she prayed again. I've had some bad habits, and she don't know how much it helped me to preach this morning.
Amen.
The devil is so busy all the time. And we got to use what God has given us. Because see, this is how I normally deal with anger. I get mad. I don't say nothing. I don't want nobody saying nothing to me. I don't want you making no excuses about nothing. Just leave. Just be, you know. And then when I go off. Because I hold it in. That was one of my habits. And so, through this act of prayer, it's helping me. You're here today, you're not a Christian. You need to be a child of God. You need God every day in your life. And God has given us the tools to use. But if we don't use them, you can't fight this battle. See, you're trying to break this bad, addictive habit you got. And you, I'm going to break it. Not if you don't replace it with the right, with the fruits of the Spirit, the way God has intended us to do. You come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You come to the Lord by repenting of your sins. And that is simply acknowledging that you are no longer want to live in sin, but you want to live for God. I tell your neighbor to accept, unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. You must confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes. Not be ashamed that you're a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10. You must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin. God adds you to His church. Through the watery grave of baptism, we come out of the water a child of God. Our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. We are now a saint, we're a Christian, but we still haven't arrived in heaven yet. And He says, if you be faithful unto death, don't stop, He'll give us a crown. And I don't know about you, but I certainly want my crown. You here today, you want to be a Christian, you can be one. If you're here today, you want us to pray with you, pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you're here today, you want to make something right in your life, won't you come as we stand and sing the song?
There's a bounty.